Today, the Adonijo Course in Verona, New York.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for joining us. You know, there aren't a lot of months in the Northeast to play golf, so why don't we head up to Verona, New York and the Turning Stone Resort and Casino. Today we'll cover the Adonijo course, and our guest is the head golf professional there, Steve Campanero. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be working with you.
Hey, you guys have more than one course up there at Turning Stone, don't you?
Yes, we do. We actually have three championship golf courses here on property, and we have two smaller golf courses. Our first golf course was built by Rick Smith, and that is the Shenandoah Golf Course. Our second golf course was built by Robert Trent Jones, Jr., and that is the Gluyut Golf Course. And here at Adonijo, it was built by Tom Fazio, located about 4 miles off the property.
So you guys have some quality golf courses done by quality designers.
Yes, we do.
Where is the Turning Stone Resort?
The Turning Stone Resort and Casino is located in Verona, New York. It is just off the New York State Thruway, I-90, and we are located about a half an hour east of Syracuse and about 90 miles west of Albany, New York.
Okay, so you're in the upstate part. You're not near New York City.
We're the true upstate New York.
So what are the months that you get to play golf up there?
Our months normally run from April till the end of October. If we're lucky, we do get some golf in November. It's all weather permitting.
Okay. Okay. Now, help me with this. I'm going to try it again. Adonijo. Mm-hmm. How do you spell it?
Adonijo is spelled A-T-U-N-Y-O-T-E.
Okay.
And it is the Oneida word that means eagle.
Oneida being?
Oneida is the Oneida Indian Nation is the nation that owns the land here. They are a Indian tribe of central New York, and most of their golf courses all have their names of their golf courses all have meaning behind them.
Okay. And you said that it's not directly next to the resort and casino?
No, we're located just off of Route 31 in Vernon, New York. It's about 4 or 5 miles from the actual resort.
And do you have your own practice facility and whatnot there?
Yes, we have a full driving range and full short game area.
Great.
State-of-the-art short game facility. It has two greens with bunkers, and the idea behind the short game area was to kind of mimic the some of the shots you're going to have around the greens on the actual golf course, just to kind of get you ready for your round. So there's a lot of nice features out there.
And, of course, one of my favorite questions is about your practice putting facility. Is it consistent with your greens or throughout the course?
Yes, our greens are big, undulating, typical Fazio golf course, and they typically run between 10 and 12 on the stimp meter. They are fast greens here.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful putting surfaces.
Give me an overview of the golf course.
Well, the golf course is a typical parkland golf course, which is highlighted by spacious fairways, large undulating greens, and steep face bunkers that are hallmarks of a typical Fazio design. Some of the other features that the golf course has is a deadwood marsh, rock formations, several lakes, streams, and waterfalls. The largest body of water out here measures 13 acres, and it runs along three of the fairways, including the dramatic 18th finishing hole, which is a long par 5. It comes right up to the back of the clubhouse.
Mm. And difficult to play?
It's a typical three-shot hole. It's long enough where you really don't have much of a chance of getting home in two, but the 18th hole is beautiful. The lake runs along the right-hand side. Your tee shot on the 18th hole, it requires you to hit it just right of the bunker on the left-hand side of the fairway. And once you get to the right-hand side of the fairway, it kind of opens up your layup shot, which the land will roll from left to right. So you want to keep it left on this fairway so the ball will get down towards the lake on your second shot. The green is big. It has three distinct sections of the green, and they can put the pins on behind two of the bunkers that frame the green. So it's a typical three-shot hole, and I think that the hole is designed to be coming in with a short iron, longer shots coming into this green. It's shallow. It doesn't really want to receive a long iron or wood into this green. So it's a great, great finishing hole.
I meant the course.
Oh.
My question is, is it a difficult course to play?
The golf course...
You just killed the punchline of the whole show. You gave me the 18th hole before we even started.
I kind of got off there. The golf course itself is is very playable for all levels of players. We don't have the forced carries in a lot of natural grass out here. It's right in front of you. You can find the ball. The rough is fair, but you will play the same ball pretty much the whole round. The water is in play on a few holes, but it's not bordering right on the fairways. It's kind of off to the side. So yeah, it's very, very fair. Very fair.
Do you have a lot of mature trees on the course? Is it more link style?
Well, it is. It's typically parkland. The 7th hole and the 15th hole are cut right out of the trees, and the rest of the golf course does have a lot of trees that are out here, but they do border some of the holes, but they're not really in your line of sight. They're more there for aesthetics.
Can you walk this golf course, or do you guys demand that we take a golf cart?
Oh, no, walking is encouraged.
Great.
We're pretty traditional out here, and walking is encouraged on the golf course. Very easy walk. The land does gently roll. There's not a lot of steep hills out here, so it is a good walk out here.
How's the weather up there?
Today is beautiful, but our summer months seem to be, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, seems to be our best weather. Early spring, late fall, the weather is unpredictable up here in New York, but we have 7-8 great months of golf, so...
And the colors at late fall are probably ridiculous.
We're at the foot of the Adirondacks here, and some of the hills to the south here are they do have a lot of color on them, and the views are from the back porch of the clubhouse are just spectacular.
We're going to take 6 holes of your golf course. We'll do 3 in the front, 3 in the back. It's going to be your choice on what you'd like to talk about and do a shot-by-shot guide. And if you're listening to this show on your computer, please check out Google Earth. If you want more information on that, go to put this in pause and then go to ttour.com and get all the information on our podcast page of how to utilize Google Earth to listen and watch at the same time. Okay, take it out of pause. And now, Steve, which hole in the front 9 would you like to do first?
We're going to do hole number 5, par 5.
Okay. What's our target?
Well, it's a par 5 measuring 520 yards, and there are a lot of distinct qualities about this golf course, one of them being the canyon, in the Gorge Canyon, that sits to the left of the 5th fairway, and it also borders the 4th fairway. This canyon runs the whole length of the entire par 5, and to the right of the canyon is a group of bunkers. You want to stay clear of that. It's a good 3-shot hole. 3 good shots will definitely set up a birdie opportunity. So what you want to do on this hole is favor the right side of the fairway. That will open up the green for longer hitters. The prevailing wind is out of the west, and this hole does play downwind most of the time. So you're able to get a second shot at this green. The second shot, you must avoid the canyon on the left-hand side, and it will reward you, but be careful. Anything left on your second shot will be in the water, and double bogey is sure to be taken here. But it is fair. If you're going to lay up on your second shot, you want to lay it up behind the bunkers that come about 40 to 50 yards from the green. You want to stay behind those so you have more of a fuller shot in. Those bunkers are dangerous down there, and it's a hard shot coming out of those bunkers to a green. It's undulating. There's a small false front on this green, but very, very fair. It's a beautiful scenic hole.
When you say canyon, are you on the top of the canyon or are you at the bottom of the canyon?
The fairway runs right next door to it. It runs the entire length of the golf hole, and you're equal with it. But you can look down into it. It's about a 20-foot drop from the fairway down to the bottom of the canyon, and it's got beautiful rocks in there and wildflowers. It's absolutely beautiful. It's dangerous, though. It borders right up to the green. So anything left of this hole for an aggressive player trying to get home in 2, they have to keep it to the right side of the screen. Anything left will go back down into that canyon.
You told me I wasn't going to lose balls on this course.
No, this is if you're aggressive, you it will set up. You could make a big number here, but 2 good shots and you'll have a nice birdie opportunity.
Okay, you know, I just found you guys on the internet here. You're at turningstone.com. Click on golf, and then you can find the Aduñot. I'm going to keep working on that word, Aduña course, and they have illustrations of each hole, so you can get a sense of that as well. Okay, tell me about the green on this par 5, number 5.
The par 5 green, another green that was meant to be hit with a shorter iron, smaller green, very undulating, not really conducive to hitting a long iron or wood into this green. It will have a tough time holding. There's a bunker that borders the right-hand side of the green, and the best place to be here is in the middle of the green. Obviously, anything left will be in that canyon again. Over the green, you'll have a pitch that the shot will run away from you. The green does slope at you slightly, but very fair. And in a typical Fazio fashion, there is some undulation in this green.
You going to try to just put it in the center of the green, or should you put it up front and try to, because the ball is going to release towards the back?
If the pin is up front, you must carry the ball up into the middle of the green. There is a slight false front. If the ball hits in the front of that green, it will not release to the middle of that green. So you want to carry this deep into the green.
Good advice. Hey, how many tee boxes do you have on your golf courses for each hole?
We have 5 sets of tees on the entire golf course.
And what are we playing from today?
The back tees, and they measure 73-15 from the back tees.
That's a decent sized course.
Yes, it is.
And is there a big difference between, say, you have black, blue, white, gold, red? Let's say from the white to the black, is it a completely different course?
Yes, it is. The white measures 65-61 from the tee boxes,
mm-hmm.
So there is a pretty good a difference in yardage there. It does play differently.
Hmm. So if you play the course a lot, change your tee boxes occasionally and a new challenge for yourself. Why not? All right, what hole do you want to go to next?
We're going to go to hole number 7.
Okay.
Number 7 is a par 4 measuring 433 yards, and this hole was cut right out of the woods. It's a beautiful sweeping dogleg left to right, and the tee shot in this hole best works if you can avoid the bunker on the right-hand side, so you want to favor the left-hand side of this fairway.
But what's your target then?
The target is the left center of the fairway. There is a green in the second green. You can see through the trees in the background, and usually that's the target I'm taking. It is at that pin. You can see that at the far end of the fairway. So that usually is my line of sight on this golf hole.
But for somebody who's not played the course before, are they thinking they're going after that pin, or is it going to be pretty obvious that you got to make that right turn?
No, it's pretty obvious. The green, it's in the distance. It's but you can see the flag. It's in the distance. You can't. You'll know it's not the right hole.
Good. I've made that mistake before.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but I've made that mistake before. Oops. Okay, so hopefully we've avoided that bunker on the right side. We're in the middle of the fairway. What's our approach shot like?
Distance control on this hole is key. This green is 46 yards deep.
Wow.
And it's there's a big bunker on the right-hand side of the fairway. The green does have a couple undulations in there, so anything that hits in the front of the green will release to the back, to the middle or back portion of this green. This is the deepest green on our golf course.
That's a very big green.
Very, very deep, yeah. So it will reward distance control. Normally hitting a mid to longer iron into this hole. So you do need to be precise on your iron shots here. It's key here.
So if you've got your tee shot out in the middle of the fairway there and you're just left of the bunker, in the fairway bunker, generally, what kind of distance do you have to the middle of the green?
From that bunker, you're going to have about 160 yards to the middle of that green.
So if the flag's in the back or in the front, you're really using different clubs with each shot, depending on where the flag is.
You are, and the more you play it, you'll understand that some of the shots that do hit short into the green will release on you. So, like I said, having the experience of playing the golf course a few times will help you because the ball will release on the green.
Well, that's why we're taking advantage of you right now to get this local knowledge.
Yeah.
That's why you're here, Steve. Okay, and how are the breaks on that green? I mean, you may have a long way to go.
Very undulating. The front does have a small hump in the front of the green, and balls will influence a lot of your putts coming from right to left or left to right. The back of the green is probably the flatter portion of the green, and that's probably where you'll get the easiest putt. But once again, you need to get the ball all the way back from the fairway. You can't tell how deep the green is unless you're looking at your yardage book or listening to this interview. It does look deceiving. You cannot see how deep the green is because of that little hump in the front, so you have to trust your iron shot.
Wow, interesting. Very good. All right, what do you want to do next?
Hole number 9.
Number 9.
And hole number 9?
Yep.
Par 4.
Okay.
Measuring 468 yards, and it comes right up to the back of the clubhouse. Spectacular views.
All right, so it does bring you right back to the clubhouse?
Brings you right back to the clubhouse, yes.
Great. We'll grab a sandwich afterwards, but what's our target on this?
The target is you're going to hit this just about right at the clubhouse, but there is a bunker on the left-hand side of the fairway you must avoid. This bunker is deep, and all you'll be doing on this bunker is pitching it back out into play. You're not going to be able to hit a second shot to this green. It's a long straight tee shot that avoids this bunker guarding the landing area is required on this challenging uphill par 4. The second shot
Well, I want to ask you about positioning here. If you want to get a good angle to the green, are you aiming for that bunker? Or are you?
No, you're aiming to the right of the bunker.
Just to the right of the
you're
bunker.
You're aiming to the right of the bunker, yeah.
On the graphic that you have on the website, it looks like there's bunkers on either side of the fairway there.
Yeah, there's bunkers on the right-hand side. If you take it just right of that bunker, you'll stay clear of the bunkers on the right. The bunkers on the right sometimes are not in play. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit out distance-wise, so you're not having much chance to hit into those. The bunker on the left, well, the ball will roll into that bunker.
Is the fairway pretty generous on its width? Do you have a lot of room to play with? Or do you
yes, you do. You have probably 35, 40 yards between those bunkers there, so it does give you some area to hit into.
So are we hitting a driver on this tee box?
You're hitting a driver, yeah. This hole does play downwind. Prevailing wind does come from behind you, but it is playing downwind most of the time, but you are hitting driver. It's a long par four from the back tees. You want all you can get off the tee.
And let me ask you about the winds on your golf course. Do they affect play frequently?
The winds, like I said, prevailing out of the west will make the golf course play a little bit easier. 9 and 18 do play downwind. Those are the two longer holes on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
When the wind does switch out of the east and north, you do get some different looks. The golf course does change its personality dramatically when the wind blows, so I think it was designed that way.
Okay. Okay. Now let's take our approach shot there on number 9.
The second shot here is a demanding shot. It's slightly uphill to a green that does have a false front on the front of this green. It's protected by a large bunker on the right-hand side. If you're down in that bunker, you will not see the green surface. You are pretty good ways down. So you do want to have something that's going to carry you. This green is 39 yards deep. It's probably the second deepest green on the golf course. But the left-hand side of the green is where you want to hit your shot. You want to avoid that right-hand bunker. There's two bunkers down to the right-hand side there. You do want to avoid that. So you need to take an iron that you're going to feel comfortable with. And once again, distance control is going to be key here because anything that hits into that front of the green is going to come back down into the fairway. You must carry this ball into the middle of the green. 4 is a great score here. I wouldn't be challenging anything on this, any pin on this hole. 4 is a great score here.
Well, let's take a short break. We'll grab a sandwich back in the clubhouse, and then we'll come back and do the back nine.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@teetour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, at teetour.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
All righty, we are back. And before we head to the back nine, I got a question for you that I really like to know.
Sure.
Before I come out and play your golf course, what shot should I be working on so that I can pull it out of my bag when I need it frequently on your golf course?
Well, the shot that I think that is key on this golf course is around the greens. There are a lot of short mown areas around the greens. Some of the approaches do run fast, so you do want to hit that little shot that you can have check. The greens are faster, so you want to take that 60-degree wedge and play it back and just kind of pinch it off the turf and get that ball to kind of bite on you a little bit. You're going to need that shot around the green. It is there is a lot of areas that will have runoffs around the green, and you're going to need to hit that shot.
But you're not going to want to get the ball high up in the air. You just want to get it off the ground a little bit and let it roll.
I just want to, you want to let it track on these greens. They are smooth, and that, I think, gives you the best opportunity to get the ball close to the hole. But you don't want to loft the ball too high in the air here. Like I said before, the practice area before you come out and play would be the best place to go out and hit those shots. It does mimic some of the areas around these greens.
It's interesting because I love my lob wedge, my 60-degree, if I need to go 20 to 30 yards and get it up in the air and have it just come down and stop. But if I have to use my 60-degree for a 5-yard shot, I hate it. I freak out.
Well, for a 5-yard shot, see, on these greens, they roll so true. You can take out some of your mid-irons and play it like a putt because the greens, the approach areas are mown very, very close. But you do want to get some spin on the ball because the greens are fast here.
Yeah.
You do want to get the ball to kind of stop a little bit. So you got to go to that short game area before you come out and play and work on that shot. That'll help you out.
Is your short game area before you, when you're practicing, warming up, is that short game area close to the first tee, or do we need to allow a lot of time before we get to the first tee?
No, it's just on the other side of the driving range. It's very close. Everything here is very, very close fit. So.
Okay, great. Great. All right, what do you want to do on the back nine? Where should we go first?
We're going to go to hole number 12.
Number 12, okay.
12 is a par 5, measuring 538 yards.
Mm-hmm.
The lake, the 13-acre lake that's here is going to be on the right-hand side of this par 5.
Okay.
So you do have some beautiful views coming. You're going to be hitting just from the back, almost to the back of the clubhouse. You're hitting down away from the clubhouse now. So the lake is in play off the tee, uh-huh. Not really dramatically in play, but it is there to remind you that there's water there.
And our target is?
There's two bunkers on either side of the fairway on this part, on the tee shot here. You want to stay to hit it at the bunker on the left-hand side of the fairway. That's going to give you your best layup shot. Anything that goes down to the right-hand side, the fairway bunker to the right is going to catch that tee shot.
But you're aiming for the bunker. You're not going to reach the bunker.
You're not going to reach the bunker from
but
the
back. But that's your target.
That's your target.
Okay. All right. And so is your tee shot, and again, looking at the graphic on the website, is your tee shot going to, if it goes a little bit to the right, is it going to reach that bunker on your right?
You can reach that bunker on your right. It's not as penalizing as it looks. You can hit your layup shot out of that bunker.
Oh, okay. Okay, and so let's talk about the second shot there from the fairway.
Okay, the second shot here is slightly downhill. The green here is it's very shallow, so you're not really taking a long iron or wood into the screen. It sometimes will not hold. So you want to lay up to a precise distance. Now, I will say that if this hole is playing downwind and you get it between the bunkers on your tee shot, it will run down and get onto a flat part where you're going to be a couple hundred yards away, and you can be aggressive and hit your second shot on this hole. Aggressive players are going to be rewarded with a birdie. You have to be careful. The water does creep up on the right-hand side of the green just off to the right of the bunker, and it will catch anything that's short and right. But once again, a good drive, you can get home in two.
But not if you've not played the course before.
No, you want to play it to the left of that bunker and then take your club that you feel comfortable with the yardage and get it out there and hit something that you're going to be able to spin pretty good into the shallow green.
Come on, say it, Steve. You want to golf smarter, right?
Yeah, you do want to golf smarter.
Hey, he did it. Okay. All right, now our approach shot.
Approach shot, like I said before, the green is shallow, and there is a bunker. It sits right in the middle of the green, so we can move the pin around in front of that bunker. So you're going to have to hit a shot, a lofted shot. So you want to lay up to that distance where you feel comfortable with a gap wedge or lob wedge and get some height and get some spin on it. And like once again, distance control on this golf course is key.
And our green?
The green is long. It's probably 30 yards long, but it's only about 10 yards deep.
Hmm.
So like I said, you need to be careful on not going over this green. There is some approach. There is some landing area to the left of the green as a bailout area, and it's an approach area. So if you do miss it over there, you can hit a nice little shot on the ground. It's a good hole. It's a true par 5. It does give you the opportunity to get home in two, but like you said, golf smarter. Take your third shot, take your medicine, and get your precise distance here.
Two more holes to go, but there's a lot to play. Where do you want to give us some instruction?
15th hole.
Okay.
15th hole is a par 4 measuring 442 yards from the back tee. This is one of the holes that was cut right out of the woods, and this has one of those dramatic conversation pieces. It has a deadwood marsh that runs along the back right of the green. It's not in play, but on your second shot, we'll get to that in a minute, is just a beautiful view.
Mm.
It's a sweeping dog leg from left to right. It does require a long tee shot. Now, there is a bunker on the left-hand side of this fairway. That is going to be your aiming point for this tee shot.
Is it reachable?
It's not reachable, no.
Okay, but it is your aiming point.
It is your aiming point.
And that's a Fazio, both Tom and Jim. That seems to be one of the things they like to do is put that bunker out there to make you, you know, flirt with it, but you're supposed to be aiming at it, but it just makes you uncomfortable.
Yes. The better players are going to take out their driver, and they're going to cut it off that bunker. Downwind, I will say, it is reachable sometimes downwind. From the back tees, pretty much, you just want to take it at that bunker and hit it right at that bunker. It's going to open up the green for you because it is a dogleg right. There is woods that do come out on the right-hand side. Anything that's hitting to the right side of that fairway is a possibility that you might get cut off from looking at that green. So you do want to keep it in the left center here.
Okay. And our approach shot, looks like we got a couple bunkers in the way between you and the green.
There is a bunker that is not right at the green. It's about 20 yards from the green. It's very deceiving, but once again, this green is big. There's a bunker to the right. You can take two or three clubs difference depending on where the pin is on this green. If it's in the front, it's going to play 20 to 30 yards shorter than if it was all the way in the back. Three good pin placements on this golf course in the front, just off the slope on the back left and then the back right where it's you have to carry that bunker. So once again, Fazio built a golf course where your distance control with your irons is going to be key out here. You must carry the ball into the middle of this green if the pin is in the back.
And does that front bunker really play with your head looking like front when you're standing in the fairway looking like it's sitting right on top of the green?
It does. If you're if the pin is in the front just off that little hill there, there's a little ridge that runs through the middle of this green, and it does come at you. If the pin is in the front quarter of this green, that bunker the pin looks like it's cut right over the top of that bunker. There is room between that bunker and the green, probably 20 yards or so.
Okay. All right. And the green itself.
Very undulating in the front half of the green. Like I said before, there is a little ridge that runs through the green that kind of separates this into two different greens. The back right of the green does seem to be the flattest part of the green where you're going to have the easiest birdie putt. But the front and the top left is where it gets a little tricky, where it does have some undulation in there.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I get email a lot from listeners who say, you know, I'm never going to play this course. Well, you know, should I be interested in this? And actually, if you start listening to how designers do their courses, here's a Fazio design, and he and his brother have some similarities because they were both raised, you know, on the golf course by their uncle. You'll get a sense when you go to a course what he does just by listening to the instruction that you're giving us today.
Yes, you do.
That's really interesting. It's starting to click in my mind. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I've seen stuff that looks similar to that before.
Yeah, he does make you think when you're out here playing it.
Yeah, they do like to do that. Well, you gave us a tease on 18 before. Do you want to go to 18 again, or you want to do something else?
We could go to 18 again. I just believe 18 is just a beautiful finishing hole. It comes right up to the back, just underneath the back porch of the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking from the fairway up at the clubhouse, it's absolutely beautiful. The lake is to your right, and it does make you think on this hole. It's a three-shot hole, like I said before. There is a bunker that's in play off to the tee to the left side of the fairway. You do want to stay clear of that bunker. You can. The longer hitters here, that hole does play, like I said before, the prevailing wind is going to be behind you here. So the longer hitters can get that ball around that bunker. Still going to leave you a long shot in, so you do want to lay up to your correct yardage again. But it does open up the hole for your layup shot there.
Okay.
There is a waterfall to the right of the screen. It's absolutely beautiful. You can hear the water running down as you're hitting your putt. Just a spectacular finishing hole.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Bunch of bunkers.
It's bunkers to the left of the tee do come in play, and then there's bunkers that are in the landing area to the left-hand side of the fairway. What you want to do here is hit your tee shot to the right so it does open up that second shot, and then take your iron out, and most of your shots that hit into this fairway are going to funnel back down to the right. The fairway does slope from left to right down towards that lake. The lake is down there. It's not really going to be in play again. It's just there more of an intimidation factor. But your ball will release down to the hill, down to the right-hand side of the fairway, and you're going to have a slightly uphill shot on your third shot, which the green here has three separate parts of the screen that they all have a different look. There's two bunkers that are going to be on either side of the green, and when you put the pins on those side of the each side of the green there, you can get some wicked pin placements on that hole. It's great, great third shot in here. And once again, you got to be precise with your wedges because if anything short, if the pin is left or right, it's going to end up funneling back down into the valley of this green. It's going to be a tough two-putt.
You said it's a slight uphill going towards the green. Are we going to need an extra club, or is it not that much?
Not that much. It just seems to appear to be that way because the clubhouse is above the green. Is the backdrop, so it does appear like you're going uphill, but you're slightly uphill. I wouldn't think you'd need an extra wedge to come in there. No,
okay,
just be a normal yardage there.
You're also a teacher there, correct?
I'm one of the instructors here. We do have our own golf academy, the Turning Stone Golf Academy,
mm-hmm.
And all our professionals on staff do teach here.
And what is a common swing flaw that you see? Actually, a listener requested that I ask this. What's a common swing flaw that you see? That's relevant to playing your golf course?
Well, most of the people that I've taught along the years, it seems to be that their position, their alignment seems to be the biggest problem here. And once you get out of a line, your body's trying to hit, you know, a shot at where your eyes and mind are looking, and it's just not letting you get there. So I believe that, you know, from the ground up, basic fundamentals and getting that alignment guide on the practice range when you're hitting shots, and just to get comfortable with where you're going, because once you start going over the top and hitting it left to right, as most amateurs that's the shot they're hitting. So I believe alignment is the biggest problem that I've seen through the years.
And when you say alignment, are you talking about your body? Is it being perpendicular to your target?
Most
or is
people
it your
here
seat?
That I've seen aim right. That seems to be the general rule, that they all aim right and they look, they're looking at the target, but their body's just in the way of them. They're not allowing them to hit the shot to where they're actually looking.
So is that a function of where your feet are lined up?
Feet, shoulders, hips. It seems to be that mostly their shoulders want to aim right. Another common flaw is they get their shoulders aiming right and their hips aiming left, and then they get everything out of line, and it just throws off their timing there.
So what do you advise to get yourself in proper alignment?
What I do is we have you can do a couple different things. You can take clubs out of your bag, or you can take an old broken shaft, or they have some good teaching aids now that will actually line you up. Some have mirrors, some have measuring devices on them, where you can get everything looking and aiming the same way. And you can, just kind of get that into your routine, so you have you develop a comfort zone for you where you're going. You always, even the tour professionals, when you see them on the range hitting shots, they always have clubs on the ground, just as an alignment guide. That's the most important thing. You have to line up. You have to know where you're going.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. That's Steve Campanaro. He is the head golf professional at Turning Stone Resort and Casino up in Verona, New York. We really appreciate your time and your instruction today, Steve. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Fred. It's been a pleasure.
And maybe we'll get back together and talk about the other courses that you have, too.
Anytime you want.
And now it's time to remind you of our contest. This is the last chance you have to win a free membership to SAGA, the Society for Authentic Golf Architecture. You can get the details from the notes on our May 2nd podcast with Bill Treadway, who's the creator of SAGA. And he's offered us two free memberships to SAGA to the Golf Smarter listeners. And you'll get a bunch of things with that membership. But, of course, my favorite is a copy of the book by Robert Trent Jones, Jr., Golf by Design. And on our next show, we're going to announce the winner of this random drawing, so get your entries in now. To enter, send an email with the subject SAGA and include your name and where you're from to golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @TEETOUR.com. And listen, while you're on your computer, can you please go to the podcast page of ttour.com and fill out our listener survey, please? We aggressively are pursuing sponsorship right now, and the information that you provide on that survey, which won't take you very long, is really important. Frankly, we really need to find some funding to continue this show. I remember when I did the interview on the Port Royal Golf Course in Bermuda a couple weeks ago, I got the phone bill. It was $150. That's crazy. Ouch. So, unless you have other suggestions on how we can pay for this, please fill out the listener survey. I'd rather have a sponsor pay for this and give away some goodies than having to ask you guys for donations, which they do on Twitter. It's not necessary. You know, I love doing the show, but unlike other podcasts that have a couple guys sitting in a room together talking about what they saw on the Golf Channel or SportsCenter or reading Golf Digest, I got to pay the phone bills. Anyway, thanks again to Steve Campanaro for the information and advice on how to play at Thanks again to Steve. I'm going to get this right. Thanks again to Steve Campanaro for the information and the advice on how to play at Adonyot. And once again, we've learned that golf is more fun when you play better, and you always play better when you golf smarter. Thanks for listening. I'm Fred Green.